This is The Women of Letters, a podcast dedicated to the TV show Supernatural and everything fandom.
Of Letters podcast episode 41.
Really?
Yes, I said that really confidently, and I could be lying because I'm Jules and I lie a lot. And with me is the always honest Amy.
Always honest and gullible, because I was like, really? That's amazing.
You say anything with confidence, people believe you.
I will believe anything.
Yes. No, we are here to be truthful today. We're going to be talking about All Hell Breaks Loose, the convention that was on this last week and down under in Australia, mate.
Australia.
That's me trying to be an American doing a bad accent.
That's you being Matt Cohen. Yes. Australia.
Tumblr. Yes, we heard a lot of bad attempts at Australian accents.
Richard's in particular was terrible.
It was interesting. There was quite a bit of discussion. There was a hilarious question, just to get ahead of ourselves, in Melbourne, where someone got up and went, "Hi, I'm a Bogan from Sunbury, and I'd like to hear you do your best Bogan voice."
Oh, jeez.
And I think that was Matt and Richard. It was Tim and Osric.
Oh, God.
Tim and Osric. And so they tried it. Anyway, but Tim Odmundson was saying, and he obviously does an English accent in Gallivant and has some facility, he thought, with accents, but did admit he thought the Australian – and he did a New Zealand accent because he was actually in Xena years ago and so spent a bit of time in New Zealand. His New Zealand accent, which I thought actually sounded a bit more like an Australian accent, was quite good. He had the he had the intonation down well, even though the accent was a bit more Australian than New Zealander. But when he tried to do an Australian one, he failed. And I thought it's interesting because the reverse is there are now so many Australians working in American, particularly in TV, and Australians seem to have quite a facility for picking up accents. But the Australian accent does seem to be slightly elusive.
I think it's a bit elusive as well. Well, yes. I rarely hear anybody do a good one.
Yes, I'm not quite sure why.
I don't know.
Maybe because it's close to accents people are more familiar with, like some English accents, and so it's hard to pick out the more – for a non-native speaker to pick out the more subtle differences because I'm thinking to – I can't remember the actors' names who are in Pacific Rim.
Oh, gosh.
And they did these accents that were just appalling. But
and, I mean, it's not like there's not enough good-looking, muscly Australian men in Hollywood that could have jumped into that role. They're everywhere.
The other side of that is, you know, it was only Australian audiences who noticed and
went, cringy.
Anyway, this is all beside the point.
Totally.
Accents did come up a lot. All hell breaks loose. So this is the Australian convention, which Amy and I have reviewed in the past, this time last year, in fact. Just quickly, very different than most of the other conventions that are single show conventions in that it's one day only and it goes to two cities, Melbourne and Sydney.
Which are in two different states.
Which about an hour's flight apart. And so there's 2 days. This time it was Melbourne first and then Sydney. The guests, just so you know, because we're going to ramble all over the place, I'm sure. The panels were Tim Odmundson and Osric. Then there was Matt Cohen and Richard Speight. Then there was Mark Shepherd and finally Jensen. And that was repeated on each day. And then there were photos in the morning and autographs in the afternoon through to early evening. There was a sing-along on the Friday night in Melbourne, preceded by a meet and greet with all the guests except Jensen, and that happened on the Sunday night in Sydney. In addition, for the
Ultimates and
higher tier ticket holders, that gets me out of worrying about whether it's Ultimate or VIP. There was a Mark and Jensen panel on first thing in the morning, and then a Jensen meet and greet at lunchtime, which Amy got to go to, so she'll be able to talk about those. Mm-hmm. They were quite large conventions, so I think about 1,200 people in Melbourne and 900-odd in Sydney, I think.
Yeah.
So quite a lot of people. They were both in theatres. Melbourne was at the Entertainment Convention Centre, and Sydney was at Sydney University of New South Wales. So you've got that sort of tiered seating. So it's
like a
very
big
different
lecture hall.
Like a big lecture hall, and so a very different environment as well. And of course, generally people are coming from home, and it's only one day, so you're not all staying in the same hotel for the weekend. So there's a number of things that make it different, and I'm just setting that up because it is different than a lot of the conventions you will have read about and heard about. And we do live at the arse end of the world. So we get overly excited when people we love come to visit because it doesn't happen that often.
It does not. We're a long way away.
We're always, you know, we're always very happy when someone tours down here, whether it's music or particularly our favourite stars, because it's a long way. Well, we don't think it's a long way. We go other places.
No, we don't think so. We say, oh, you know, we're going to LA. It's only a 14-hour flight. People go, 14-hour flight? It's like, what? That's not much.
It's when people go to the other side of the world. It's like, yeah, 14-hour flight. That's nothing.
It's absolutely nothing.
Well, even the longer flights, like, you know, I have friends who fly from Australia to Rome for GibCon, and they'll go on Thursday night and come back Sunday.
Yep.
And that's
20-something hour flight.
That's nearly a 24-hour flight.
Yep. Yep.
In fact, it's so long, the guests who came from Rome, they had a two-day stopover in Dubai to refresh themselves.
Yeah, I think that was well planned in advance. They wanted to go to that water park.
Yes, it was. And in fact, I believe Jared planned
it. Jared planned it.
The itinerary and planner.
He planned that because he wanted to go to that crazy water park. And next year, according to Osric, who I had the cocktails things with, it's going to be they want to go to Abu Dhabi so that they can go on the Ferrari roller coaster. That's the plan for next year. They were going to try and do it this year, but instead they did Dubai. So he goes, next year after Rome, they want to go to Abu Dhabi and do the Ferrari roller coaster. I'm like, oh, my God.
Bless them. As you do. I'm just thinking, is that inspired by, isn't it in Fast and Furious 7, there's remember the scene with the car? Was that a Ferrari jumping between the buildings?
Don't know.
Don't tell me you haven't seen Fast.
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, my God.
I know. Oh, it came and went. The movie's too fast for me. I couldn't get there quick enough, and then it was gone.
Okay, well.
But I will see it.
Those of you who have seen it will know what I'm talking about. I can't remember I think it might have been Dubai, though, rather than
The Ferrari roller coaster is the fastest roller coaster in the world. And it doesn't actually, if you Google it and have a look at it, it's quite big, but it's not hilly. So it doesn't go up really big and downhill. So it stays really, really low, but it's got like corners that basically are on its side. So, and it's supposed to replicate, you know,
like a
Formula One track and stuff. And it's the fastest roller coaster in the world. So the boys want to go on that.
Anyway, we fail so far about actually talking about it, I realise. We discussed accents and racing cars, but we will get to it. So look, rather than go through the whole thing chronologically, we might just throw stuff out there. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to go to both Melbourne and Sydney, although I was only on a day ticket for both, so I didn't get the extra panels, although my friend did in Melbourne. So, look, why don't we? Why don't you? What would you like to start with, Amy?
I don't know.
Jensen's beard.
Oh yes, we can. We can definitely talk. Jensen was very beardy, and I was very excited. I got to see the Ranga beard in the flesh, and it was as spectacular as I thought it would be. I even had to mention it to him in a photo op because I just couldn't help myself.
Of course, you did call it a Ranga beard to him.
I didn't. I should have, because he would have asked what that was, because it was quite Rangery, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yes, like a definitely.
Good, damn fine ginger beard he's got growing there. It looks so pretty. No, I just said it was, I was in a photo op with him and Tim Amundsen, and I just said to him, this is a very beardy photo op. And he said, it is a very beardy photo op. I said, it was very beardy with Tim and his fabulousness.
I'll jump in here because Tim, of course, was a very last minute replacement, yes, because Jared had gone home from Europe. And Tim, I believe, was, in Seattle, got the call, said yes, flew back to LA, dropped the kids off at school and got on a plane. It was sort of like but he seemed absolutely overjoyed to
And it was his first time in Australia.
First time in Australia.
Same with Osric.
Yes, and they were both seemed thrilled to be here. But I not that I didn't already love the Onmanson, but I became quite besotted.
He really is fabulous.
This weekend. I think I have a thing for sort of slightly theatrical men. So I think
slightly.
I think it explains my Mark Shepherd love.
Oh yes.
And Odmundson is just, you know, he's
far from slightly. He's so theatrical. I loved how he said he'd never met a camera he hasn't loved.
Oh, yes. I mean, a man after my own heart there. He owns his camera whoreness. He's absolutely delightful. Look, he was – and it was interesting. So on the Saturday, he and Osric obviously had the first panel. They obviously don't really know each other very well. Was he in Rome? I can't remember if Odmundson was in Rome. I don't think so.
I don't know. He was he was Vegas. They were at Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So but they haven't done a panel together.
No.
So, and you could see it took probably, you know, maybe a couple of minutes. Like, you could see them sort of, how's this going to work? I mean, you know, you've suddenly on a stage with 1,200 people looking at you, and what do you do? But it only took them a couple of minutes to really relax into a hilarious rhythm. Tim adores Osric, obviously, and we'll get to what they did in Sydney in a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
But they both venues had sort of comfy chairs on stage rather than the sort of
director's chairs,
chairs. I hate those things that Creation has. Although
they don't do them anymore because Jared breaks
keeps
them.
Breaking them.
They just have high stable chairs now, yeah, that they must bring with them, but because Jared just would break them all the time. Yeah. So
yes, they were like matchsticks. Yeah. But yes, Odmundson was sort of lounging like sort of this, I don't know, like some glorious cat over the chairs. And there was lots of hair tossing.
Big bows and arm waving. And I'm doing it while I'm talking to you, by the way, in case.
Good. We can all imagine, if not actually see it.
And flicking of the hair and stuff. I think fabulous is the perfect word for him.
And he was just and he had I remember he talked a bit about his convention experiences, and he talked about a bizarre story about going to Dragon Con many years ago, and it must have been at the end of his Xena time, I think, and ending up in an orgy room. It was hilarious. He was just Osric was just about peeing himself at that point, and And then, you know, and they talked about, you know, how much they loved working on Supernatural. They got one of those classic I thought overall for the weekend the questions were generally pretty good. I know everyone has a slight groan when anyone asks a pranking question.
No, I will never ever groan about the pranking question
because you never know when there's been why.
Because if that woman at Vegas had not asked the pranking question that everybody groaned about, we would never have got that brilliant airport hotel story that Jared had remembered.
Exactly.
And even though it wasn't pranking, she said pranking or anything funny on set, which hadn't been on set, but it had just been something that Jared had been thinking about the day before. And he was like, oh, it's not on set, but I was thinking about this great story the day before. One of the greatest con stories ever. And it wouldn't have happened if that woman hadn't have asked. So I will never groan. You never know what's going to come out of that.
You never do. We did get a really bizarre one, though, which was, would you rather fight a dragon the size of a fairy or 100 fairy-sized dragons?
I think 100 fairy-sized dragons.
And anyway, that ended up being quite a hilariously absurd thing. Tim Odmundson declared that the question was invalid. appealed to the judge of the High Court and said, no, I think the question's invalid. There was a lot of discussions on how big the dragons were and how big the fairies were. But, yeah, they were
That's
wonderful.
Very random.
Now, he also, I can't remember, I think it was something from The Little Mermaid. Tim, I think, can't stop himself singing at any opportunity. Mm-hmm. He got asked in Sydney about what his favourite song was.
Favourite song was in Gallivant, yes. And he picked the lullaby song that King Richard sings to his friend. Except that and he started, you know, to go to sing it and just sing it. He was a little worried because he hadn't sung for a while, remember, and he was like, don't judge me, and he sort of, and Osric just curled up into his lap. Basically just got up and lay across Tim's lap, and Tim lay there and sung a lullaby to Osric, and he kept going, he's falling asleep. He's falling asleep.
And well, he actually was cradling him.
Cradled right in. Osric was tucked right into him.
Dear listener, it's hard to describe.
And he was stroking Osric as well, because I was in the front row.
Yes,
so I
could see.
He was stroking his shoulder. I'm like going, oh, my God, he's actually like stroking him. I bet he wasn't even aware he was doing that.
No, it was, you know, it was like a father whose 10-year-olds crawled into their lap or something.
Hilarious. And random.
And all this while singing the lullaby from Hell's Bells.
Yes, beautifully.
So it was pretty hilarious.
It was pretty strange.
And sweet.
And strange.
Yes, how do you describe this to anyone?
And, of course, we couldn't take photos of it because the rules at these damn things is you're only allowed to take photos for the first 5 minutes of each panel. Yes. So, and then you have to put cameras away. And so, you know, you have glorious moments like that where you're just going, shit, shit, shit. I can't even get photos to show the fandom how fabulous this was.
Yes, let alone videos.
Well, yes, no videos.
So we're sorry. I've collected what there is onto the Super Wiki page for the con, but there's very, very little. And you'll notice most of the snippets of video or audio that are around are posted under pseudonyms. And
yes, otherwise you get banned.
So, yes, we're sorry on behalf of Australia that we can't share that with you. So there were quite a few tweets and there's some tweet pics from the beginning of the panels. But, yes, it's not that we're keeping it all a secret. It's that we were.
They're pretty strict. They don't even like you having your phone out because, though, I mean, I don't tweet during panels anyway. Well, normally in a normal panel situation, I'm taking a fair amount of photos, but
yes.
I can't concentrate on the live. I can't do the tweeting because, like, by the time I've tweeted that, something else has happened and I've missed it. So
yes.
I don't ever live tweet, in case anybody ever wonders why I don't do that. I don't know how people do it and keep on top of the panel.
I don't. I don't. I like. I can't.
I can't do it. I can't do it. No, I just can't. It's just not, you know, any time I've tried to do it, I've gone, oh, this is ridiculous. Just stop.
Yeah. Occasionally, so. I mean, you'll see that I probably tweeted less than probably half a dozen times over 2 days during the panels.
Yeah, I think the thing, the only time I tweeted was when Rich called Matt Rob. And I was like, and then we all went on. He goes, hey, Rob. Oh, and even he went, oh, Rob. Oh. And he was like, and we're like, oh, that moment when Rich called that Rob. Wow. He's missing his Rob.
But I have to say, look, I think Jensen aside, and not that I ever liked
what?
Jensen aside. I mean, because Jensen's just sort of in this.
Jensen.
Thing of his own, but Osric and Tim, I think, were hugely popular. I know
it was
that
fantastic.
As far as both the photos and the autographs, but particularly the photos, they were, you know, there were huge queues for both of them. And obviously they've not been out here before. And while Mark and Matt and Rob have, it was great. You know, it was great to see, and particularly because, you know, obviously. When Jared was coming in, of course, Jensen being there are huge attractions, and it was just it was a nicely balanced lineup, I thought, yeah. In that way, because it could be that you just, you know, all the energy goes on your headliner, and there was certainly not that feeling.
I think Tim also comes with a whole different group of fans as well, because he's got people who love him from Psych, and
yes,
you know, so he's got, because a friend of mine from work went to this one, and she was wanting to see Jensen probably more than anything, but she's a big Tim fan from Psych. She absolutely adores Psych, so yeah. You know, that was
Psych fans,
she was like, I cannot wait to see Tim, because I'm
there's even someone who asked him a question who knew him, remembered him from
Judging Amy.
I think I watched some of Judging Amy, but I can't remember him.
She said that, I was like, I used to watch Judging Amy, and oh my God, I think I remember him being in it now, which I'd never done before.
He didn't have the beard and the hair.
He didn't look as fabulous, so he just kind of looked like normal Tim.
I can certainly say I think everyone's pleased and hopes he'll be on lots more conventions, and maybe we'll get him back on the show sometime, because he obviously hugely enjoyed, I mean, you know, again, done two episodes, but, you know, spoke at length about both of them, both how well written they were. He spoke a lot about the fight scene with Jensen in Firstborn, and Jensen spoke about that as well at length on Sunday, about how he'd been begging to have a Jason Bourne type hand-to-hand combat, and then
regretted
he got it. It's a lot of work.
And Tim was just sitting there shucking corn.
And Tim actually said that he adored Executioner's Song, written by Bob Behrens, and that he thought it was some of Jensen's best work in that episode. And it was obvious too. I always like it. It's obvious that Tim. Has some idea of what's going on the show too. I don't know if he watches it regularly, but he certainly was up, seemed to be reasonably up to date with, you know, sort of what had been going on this season, other than just his episode. Osric hadn't seen the last three episodes.
No, he's a little bit behind,
he got terribly spoiled. interestingly, and... look, I think Amy and I could both fill a podcast with some commentary around the organisation of the event, but we'll gloss over that. that's another podcast for another day. Mm. We'll stay with the squeeze.
Under a pseudonym.
Yeah. I will comment on the fact the same organisation had previously run in recent weeks, Hooniverse, with Matt Smith and other stars from the Doctor Who series. And we commented, certainly at Melbourne the week before, they had played three of the saddest episodes you could pick, to the point that people were actually crying while they were sitting and while they were waiting for to go for autographs and that. There was an 8-year-old boy behind us who was literally bawling his eyes out because they played one that featured two major character deaths. Like, good choice. And so what do they play at All Hell Breaks Loose? The last three episodes of the season. So,
insane.
You know, let's have Charlie's death, you know.
And everybody, I know, right?
Bashing up Cass. Let's have the finale.
It was like, did they play the finale? I didn't see them play that. No, they played, I that must have been while lunch. I was in the meet and greet. I didn't have lunch. I had Jensen.
Oh, well, you know. So, yes, they played the finale. So it was.
Oh, my God.
It's like,
well, then why were all the people at the end when Jensen said, who hasn't seen the finale? And so many people up there put up their hand. I was like,
because I think people are either out getting photos or having lunch or whatever. And some people weren't up to date with the season, so they hadn't.
Too bad.
They hadn't wanted to watch it. Oh, Mark, certainly in Melbourne, Mark, and he did a bit in Sydney, but in Melbourne, he was ragging on people who hadn't seen the finale. He's like, "Ye people, you've been pirating this shit for 10 years, and you couldn't bother to do it before today."
And Jensen was a little bit like that in their in Mark and Jensen's panel in the morning, because he sort of was like, "Who hasn't seen the finale?" A few people put up their hands. He's like, guys, what are you even doing here? And then a guy asked...
Can I just stop you there? If I've paid the money to go and see... I mean, I know some people are more maybe Jensen-centric than show-centric, but I would consider it rude to turn up to someone's meet and greet and not be up to date with the show.
Exactly.
I mean, really?
Well, this is the VIP panel thing. But he goes, and this guy put up his hand and he goes, wait, have you... Wait, you hadn't seen the finale. You haven't seen it, right, have you? And he's like, no. And then Jensen goes to Mark, just put your season 2 hat on. That's all he's up to. And like, the guys just hadn't seen the finale, but I think that they were just like, oh, my God, he hasn't seen the finale. So it was a bit snarky and funny.
Mind you, we could have asked who of the cast had actually seen the finale. Would have been interesting.
Probably Jensen.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. He does watch it, though. He does say that he watches it. But they were on the road, weren't they? So he might not.
So
unless they gave him a DVD of it or something.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
And they only finished the cut of it 2 days before it ends.
That's true. That's true.
In fact, I was talking to Ryan Curtis from the VFX crew during the Hooniverse con the week before, and they'd just finished the VFX on the Saturday or the Friday their time for the episode finale that aired the following Wednesday. So so there were quite possibly other people on the so sorry fans who haven't seen it, but really, if you're going to be a fan, put in.
Exactly.
Did you want to say anything about the Mark Jensen panel?
Oh, it was fantastic, actually, because I was a little, to be honest, I was a little concerned. I was like, how's Mark and Jensen going to go together? Because
I thought they seem a little oil and water.
Oil and water, right? And I mean, Jensen's all very thoughtful answers and long and detailed, and Mark's no. And he does the walking around and things, and I was thinking, I hope he doesn't walk.
Unmitigated snark.
Snarky.
And sincere.
Sincere and charming and really sweet all the time, and Mark's not none of those things. Oh, he is charming, I must admit. So I was concerned about it. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, you know. I wonder if Mark's going to walk around. That's going to be weird. But it was awesome. Mark was... Well, I have this thing. I mean, I think I've said this before. Everybody, we know that everybody says that everything comes down from Jensen and Jared on set. Everybody looks to them as the leaders, and you can tell and you can see it, and I think you can always see it at the conventions. But there's also this kind of really interesting thing where I think everybody just, and we've talked about this as well, everybody loves Jensen, and I think everybody just loves him. And so they're all very... different when you see them with, you know, like they're these guys, and then when you see them with Jensen, there's something else. I mean, you can see it in the concerts and stuff like that. This whole other energy comes over the cast when they're with Jensen and Jared, but just Jensen in particular. And I think I saw that with Mark. He was great, and you know what he did? He almost acted like a moderator. So. Mm. Like, there probably only was maybe four, maybe five questions from the audience. I think there was only four. I asked one. Jensen actually got me to ask one. I felt a bit nervous because most of people I've ever asked a question in front of, there's probably only about 150 people, but still. What Mark did was he would then maybe expand a little bit. I like Jensen would talk about it, and not that you ever have to expand on Jensen's answers because he can really get in deep on when he goes for it. And I think because Jared wasn't in the mix, which is unusual, very unusual, the only time you really ever see, unless you go to JIB or something like that, but for a lot of us, the only time we ever see Jensen like that is if we happen to do his meet and greet. Otherwise, he's always with Jared, and they've got their own big, bright energy and, bounce off each other. But Jensen's is very sincere storyteller, and so it was really interesting because he'd give this wonderful detailed answer, and then Mark would go, oh, which reminds me of, what about that? And then they would go into a big conversation bouncing off that.
Oh, wow.
And I thought it was great. I thought, wow, Mark almost like, it was almost like he would listen to the answers. And of course, his questions were for him as well. They were across both of them. But to be honest, mostly was focused at Jensen, which Mark was very gracious about. And then he would offer in his own little side. He'll go, oh, from my point of view. And he'd offer in his point on the question as well. But he'd often expand it somehow or bring in something else that
from Jensen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and wow. Jensen. And so it actually was fantastic. They worked really well together. They were funny. There was a bit of teasing, like Jensen likes to tease Mark, and I think Jensen likes to tease everybody. He likes to just tease everyone. But it was quite light and funny, but also, really good detailed answers to people's questions. Of course, we also had the Vegemite chocolate thing, which I think is one of the few videos, and the BuzzFeed even did a thing on it, but yes. Which was very funny because I'd seen Mark tweeting about the Vegemite chocolate the day before, and I was like, oh, that Vegemite chocolate. I knew that it was coming out. I remember seeing a sign on a bus or something and going, what the hell? Oh. And I happened to be in, because my friend Hazel came over from New Zealand, and I went to pick her up on Friday night from the airport, and we swung by Coles to get some stuff to get make pizzas and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, it's a Vegemite chocolate, I'm gonna buy some. And she's like, that's gonna have to be the most disgusting thing ever. And I threw it in the fridge and forgot about it, and the next morning I was like, hey, the Vegemite chocolate. So we tried it on Saturday morning. She nearly threw up in her mouth. I was like, oh, it's not the worst thing I've ever eaten, but it's not right. It's all right, but it's not really. Like, why would you? I don't understand it, because it really does taste like chocolate with Vegemite in it. And they've kind of mixed I think what they were going for was like a salty, salted caramel taste, because Vegemite.
And it's in there like a filling rather than it's not mixed in.
And you bite into it and it's in there, so that it's got chocolate, caramel, and Vegemite. And I think they might have thought it would be like salted caramel, but it tastes too Vegemite-y to be like that, but it tastes kind of. Oh, it's very weird. Anyway, I don't even remember
don't
how.
Don't try this at home, kids.
I recommend
unless you grew up on Vegemite, never have it. You will not like it. And Vegemite chocolate should just not be eaten. It's not right.
But somebody in the audience had some. So
I blame Tony Abbott, actually. Atrocity he's.
Yeah,
he's,
it probably is his fault. Everything else is. Anyway, we can't get into that one again, Jules. I think we've spoken about that before. Anyway, so someone in the audience had some and brought it up, and Mark had a little bit. He's, oh, it's all right. It's okay. He was lying, because actually at the drinks on that night, he was like, oh, what the hell is with that chocolate stuff? You only can have it on toast. And gave it to Jensen, and we all basically bullied Jensen into doing, come on, Jensen, from the audience. And I God love him. He bites into it as well. Like, he doesn't even snap a piece off and pop it in his mouth. He bites into the great big bar of chocolate and was really unimpressed by it. So that was pretty funny. And I love that he said he has a theory that Vegemite was used as torture And Australia have just developed a taste for it because he just thinks it's that wrong. So we, but it was good. You know, I got to ask a question, which was great. I asked a question about love, but not in relation to life, but in relation. We've talked about how, you know, they there's been Dean said that he's loved, and Sam has told Dean that he's loved, and I, you know, it's been quite a word. That's been used. The L word's been used a few times this season.
Yes, which, for the first time ever.
For
really.
The first time ever.
We've always had the classic, you know, Winchester slaps you on the back. That's how they say they love you, yeah. Or you know, they save you from hell. But they don't actually say the word. But there's been a bit of it flying around this season.
There has. So I asked about that. And I said, you know, and I wanted to include Mark and I didn't really know how. So I said, you know, I wanted to ask about love in relation to the show. And I said, this season we've talked a lot about love, and I said we have found out that ultimately Crowley's not lovable, unlovable, and he's like, hey! And I'm like, well, I wasn't saying that I said that you can't be loved, but like your mom, you know, like Rowena didn't love him, and Jensen's like, yeah, it's fair enough. But I said I really wanted to talk to him in relation to Dean, but Mark actually came into the question a little bit as well and talked about it too, expanded on it later, and Jensen actually said that. I wanted to know if he thought it had changed Dean's perception of himself at all, or how he fits within the relationship, or how he sees his relationships because of that he now understands that he's loved, and that people, he owns that, and people have said it to him, and you know, there's been professions of love. And he said that he didn't know that Dean was in a position to do that, because the way he played the season was, even when it wasn't overtly obvious, he still inside himself knew that he was being affected by the Mark of Cain.
Right.
So okay. He said, you know, it's hard to say, because every single thing that happened this season, every single thing that Dean said or was said to Dean, everything was coloured by the Mark of Cain. And so he said, you know, like, until, and he talked quite a long time about it. Like, you know, when he's like looking right at you, it's hard to remember what he's talking about. he talked quite a long time about it. And he sort of said also, you know, like, he said, hopefully when he comes out of the other side of it, maybe, you know, maybe he will look at his relationships and sort of, see where he fits and stuff like that. But he said he might not. He said, because, you know, we don't know. He said, I don't know. And we don't know if he's still going to be coloured by the Mark of Cain at all, because, you know, Cain was continued to be coloured by the Mark of Cain, even though he gave Dean the mark. You know, he still was Mark of Cain-ish. And so he said, at this point in time, I don't know if Dean's going to be completely free of the mark, or if he's going to be, you know, a little still sort of dealing with it, but he's still also going to have to deal with what he's done, and you know, that kind of thing, and then maybe he might be able to look at his relationships with Sam, his relationship with Cass, and his relationship with Crowley, and sort of see how that sort of works, and in between dealing with the darkness. So that was his answer.
He has time to sit back and reflect on his relationships.
So yeah, it was a really nice panel, actually. I don't know how long it went for, probably about I think it was about 40 minutes, actually, about 45 minutes. So it was a really good long one.
Yeah.
And it was great. They worked really well together. They obviously
really liked each other.
I was
interested to see how it went, because, you know, we've seen Mark do panels with people where often, let's just say, he's had the bigger piece of the pie.
Yes.
because he is comfortable talking and doing conventions and that. And I think the first couple of times Mark Pellegrino did a panel, I remember he was with him, and not that Mark's backward and coming forward, but still it was a bit hard to get a word in with Mark on a roll. So that's interesting to know that the dynamic works so well.
It did really work well, and I felt like because exactly, and I've seen Mark with Mark Pellegrino, I think one time Mark Pellegrino, I've seen them do a couple of panels. I think Mark one time was very hungover, so after karaoke. So yes, that's probably why he was very, why he was very quiet on
Mark
stage.
Mark was glued to the chair on stage with a bottle of water or coffee while Mark Shepherd rode.
He was not well at all. But yeah, exactly. But no, there was a really healthy deal of respect, I think, from both of them for each other. Certainly from Mark for Jensen, and a bit of deference to Jensen being Jensen, you know. And but a lot of great banter between them, and sharing of stories. And it was good. They obviously get on really well, and a lot of teasing and stuff like that. Though I, in reality, apart from the chocolate, Jensen was definitely doing the teasing, more teasing. yeah, good panel. It was thoroughly enjoyable. And they shuffled their chairs forward, and, you know, so you got to love it when they do that and stuff like that too.
Then the next general admission panel both days was Matt and Richard. And as you alluded to, it was sad not to have Rob there, I have to say that.
It was. And, like, the way they were talking too, it sounded like that would never happen again. I thought at the Sydney one they were like, when Rob's here next year with us, you know, kind of thing. So I think that was a bit of a thing. And, I mean, I watched the Kings of Con Ustream that they did a while, just before.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, before they headed off to Rome. And Rob actually said that, you know, he wanted to come, he wasn't invited. He was quite honest about it and sort of a bit upset on this Ustream.
Oh.
So, and I don't know.
We were upset
because he's so loved. And, you know, everybody loves him and we love him here. We absolutely adore him. And he's been to a few. And I mean, the con that he came to quite last minute as a host when Corin had the accident, that was great because he narrated his episodes and sung on stage, and, you know, because he hosted it. And I think that would have been a great thing to have on the day.
Yes, it would have.
As well as having him in the mix with Rich and Matt, because they're, you know, a fabulous trio.
Yes, and look, it was obvious because, of course, the Hillywood parody was played on both days to uproarious reception. Mm-hmm. But Rob got probably amongst the biggest cheer, both when he appears as Kane and as himself at the end. And, I was sad that he wasn't there. It doesn't feel right having Richard and Matt there without Rob. And look, I think it certainly would have been great if they could have had, Richard and Rob hosting. But anyway,
we're not going to go into any of that.
We miss you, Rob. We miss you a lot. We did hear from a couple of the guests, and I can't remember who it was now. Was it Mark Shepherd that Richard had made up? For those who don't know, there's been a running joke that Rob Benedict hates Perth, which is a city on the far west coast of Australia. I'm not quite sure who or how it started. But
I don't know, but there's badges and all sorts.
There's badges, there's T-shirts, the whole bit. And Mark Shepherd was saying that it was actually Richard Spade who hated Perth. So that became a bit of a running joke. Of course, they, certainly in Melbourne, and in Sydney, Tim and Osric had sat in their chairs on stage, Richard and Matt in typical style,
free-ranged
into the audience. In Melbourne, they were a bit frustrated because we actually had two levels. There was a balcony level as well as the main theatre. They were frustrated they couldn't get up there, but they did their usual incredible banter. And there was some long riff about it being International Turtle Day, which I'm not quite sure where that came from. But anyway, it was hilarious in context, whatever context that was. One of the interesting things, though, and not that you often get answers to questions from these guys, Richard in Melbourne actually got some really good questions. There was a couple around his work on Band of Brothers and what that was what that was like and what it was like portraying a real person and how he, you know, how he approached that, and particularly because the particular soldier that he played had died, and whereas other cast members could actually meet the people they played. And he talked a lot about that process and also about balance between portraying these people as heroes, whereas he wanted, you know, he was very interested in portraying them as, you know, they were ordinary people who did extraordinary things, to use a terrible cliche, if you like, that they weren't, that they want, he went into the character, like, he asked some of this guy's friends, what were the things that, you know, really annoyed you about him? You know, did he chew with his mouth open and, you know, did he pick his nose or whatever? Because he wasn't interested only in the positive or the heroic stories. He wanted to know what made him a person as well, which anyway, that was all really fascinating. And I know that's that experience of making that series and the work he did on that, because they all went to, all the actors went to boot camp together and, you know, formed some very close bonds that Richard's kept to this day. So that was fascinating. And the other thing he talked about was the origins of the Karaoke Kings at Creation. Which, like, we all sort of know about it, but just to, and this is the wiki person in me too, and I must try and, it's a pity it's not on video, but I must try and write up something about it. But it was, you know, he sort of told the story of what karaoke, back in the day, what karaoke was like.
And, well, my first con that I went to, which was LA Con in 2011, karaoke was a little on the lame side. You know, well, you kind of went, it was all right, but it wasn't great. And it was before they really started making the shows the shows.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, he talked about it. And originally, apparently, it was basically just sort of in the bar on a Friday night, you know.
Right.
And then the first time they, he said, you know, you get a list of things that you're, your, you know, your jobs, your assigned duties for the weekend. And it was sort of a surprise one year when he saw that he was, you know, doing karaoke and how, you know, they, it was in the main theatre and they went in and everyone had to sit in their assigned seats. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really not very good. And anyway, he talked about the evolution of it and how it was. And then the next year they got Matt to do it with him, and he did a wonderful impersonation of Matt sort of being his irrepressible, optimistic self. And Rich is like, oh, this is going to be terrible, you know, oh, it's boring. And Matt's like, no, we're going to make it fun. And that it was basically their, you know, their desire to entertain themselves, and that they actually went down and moved all the chairs back and you know, encouraged people to get up. And it took a couple of, you know, number of cons for that to sort of then become, you know, what people expected, and you know, wearing the costumes, and that again was about their idea of, you know, what, you know, what did they feel like doing that was going to make it fun. So,
and they've actually kind of put, even they've pulled back a little bit on them, I have to say, because like now there was a period of time, because they went from these things that were like, they're a little lame. They were karaoke in the theatre, but there wasn't really any rhyme and reason. Certainly the first one I went to, I think maybe Rich was hosting, but I'm pretty sure Matt wasn't. It was just kind of this thing, and people were getting up. And then they kind of got insane. And, like, they were on chairs, like, being carried through the audience. And I was at one where they all surfed through the crowd, and God knows where they were groped. And, you know, like, there was just, they went absolutely to the other end of the insanity, to the thing. I think they actually pulled it back for the safety of all concerned, health and safety of all concerned. You know, like, we had Chad on chairs being, you know, like, carried through the audience, and, you know, I mean, and now they, you know, they're a lot of fun, but they're a lot of organized fun. So they kind of went from being this lame thing to just being this completely out of control manic thing with the cast crowd surfing, to being these shows now. So it's been a really interesting evolution, I think. God, yeah. A couple of those ones I went to, I remember with Seb and God, a few of them just crowd surfed out, and, you know, like, front down guys with a whole crowd of women. Oh dear.
Yes. Anyway, that was really interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's those sort of stories. I think you know, I love those. So that was good to hear. And then on the, I can't even remember what they talked about on the Sunday. There was lots of madness and roaming around.
My face was hurting. My face hurt. My face was a little sore after Tim and Oz, but my face was in pain after Rich and Matt. One of the things I thought was really good was that girl who'd asked you if this was really good for their egos.
Oh, yes.
That was pretty funny. And
yes, they, Alice Chu, her name was.
Alice, that's right.
Because they brought her up on stage to demonstrate how amazing it feels.
Yeah, and because they were both like, well, you might think we're famous, but we're not famous. And they, you know, like the talks again about how, you know, they come to these things, everybody loves you, you go home, no one knows who you are.
Well, I love Richard's line about how do you deal with fame? By not being famous.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's very much the theme of the Kings of Con. Fantasy fame boot camp, you know, fame, I'm going to get the words wrong now, fantasy fame camp, where they, yeah, that's what they are. They're famous for these weekends and then they walk out into the night and no
one knows who they are. They go,
taxi.
Yep, they're picking up their kids from school and buying the groceries and no one knows who they are. But they did. They brought Alice up on stage so she could experience. I loved, you know what, I loved from where I was sitting. I don't know if you could see, but they took her over to try and stick her out of the door that came onto the stage. And obviously that was locked, so they couldn't get her out the door. So they stuck her in a corner and Rich stood in front of her, pulled his jacket out to sort of stand in front of her to block her. And God love her, she wrapped her arms straight around his waist.
What do you do when a supernatural star standing in front, right in front of you?
You hug them. And I just laughed. I went, God, love her. She just went, vump. So he stood there with this girl
then
limping.
Then he carried her out.
I know. He picked her because she was like limping onto the back of him. It was awesome. And and she said it felt very good to be on stage and have everybody cheering at her. But yeah, that was a funny panel. I can't remember what they talked about either because it was just funny. We talked about Matt's nude run, of course.
Yes, I think that was about all. I mean, all that I remember from
all I remember.
It, disorganized madness as usual. What else? Oh, so Mark Shepherd, of course, the wonderful Mark Shepherd. Mm. Oh, I was going to mention just on the whole fame thing and that. I mean, there was, I think, a theme through – there were a couple of themes that ran through, I think, both days and most of the panels was a couple of things. One was just a real appreciation for being there, for what being part of the Supernatural family and the fandom has brought to people, and how much they enjoy it. Like, and I think Jensen particularly, now Mark's known for often reflecting at the end of his talks on fandom and how important it is to him. And I know it's a surprise to some people because, you know, he spends, you know, 44 minutes being a snarky, sarcastic bastard and then ends with a 5-minute speech.
About how wonderful we all
are. Heartfelt, sincere speech.
Thanking us for his life.
About how much he loves us and what this means to him and how he will always travel, you know, and you know, he said that a number of times in Australia and damn it, he does keep coming back all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Jensen said he was talking about the recent Asylum Con in England. And he's like, you know, to slightly misquote a T-shirt Orlando was wearing, Orlando doesn't even go here. People who aren't even, you know, people who've been on the show for one or two episodes, you know, can't think that anyone would want to see them and can't have an idea of what the experience will be like, and they love it. And he's like, and now people are, you know,
not even on the show.
Yeah, people who aren't even on the show. And he was just saying how Orlando kept saying to him, you know, this is just incredible. You know, he's been around, you know, the traps for a while, and he's like, you know, you've no idea how incredible. And well, I think Jensen has a very good idea.
Jensen has a very good idea.
Special it is. But that was a bit of a theme, I think, running through.
Yeah.
the weekend. I'm sure particularly, you know, they've come off, for many of them, this is their either second or third con within as many weeks.
Yeah.
So lucky bastards. Mm-hmm. They've been, you know, pretty immersed in that. I mean, we know the high we get on after one, and they've had two or three in a row. Mm-hmm. So I think they were sort of pumped up with that, and there was a lot of love for that and a lot of love for the show. I mean, I think that was mentioned again and again, for everyone who works on the show, for the crew, for the, you know, the other actors they work with, a lot of love for Jared and Jensen and the culture that they've, you know, that they've formed on the show. All the guest actors, you know, talk about.
That was one that I have to say, just before I get on to the other thing I was just about to say, but I felt that Jared was incredibly present.
Definitely.
In every single panel.
Yeah.
He was spoken about in every panel. And I'm not talking about how Jensen spoke about him. And,
he just
came up in every panel, yeah. You know, and they'd talk about whether they were talking about Sam or whatever, or whether Pranks. Richard was talking about Parrot Jadalecki.
Yeah.
Let's call him Parrot Jadalecki, who is apparently the fastest phone alterer in the world.
Yes, that was hilarious.
Who Richard just spat out all these terrible things that Jared has done to Richard. Terrible, including texting Richard's wife and pretending to be another woman. I mean, pretending that Richard's going to see another woman. Like, hi, I can't get to see you tonight because I've got to see my... Just terrible things. And putting awful, inappropriate photos on...
one can only imagine...
He said it was just so funny, but Rich said you can hand your phone to Jared for him to look at a picture. He can have it for like 10 seconds, and when you get it back, all your settings are in some other language, and he just completely screws with him. And I just thought, oh, that's so cool. I mean, he must just do it at all the cons because, you know, they don't work together anymore, so very rarely. So, you know, I thought that was great. But he was I felt like he was really present, even though he wasn't physically with us. He was spoken about constantly, you know, and
I think given the circumstances, it had the opportunity where either people could have not spoken about Jared or been sort of somber all the time, but it really was like you were expecting Jared to be the next panel up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, really, that was the feeling for most of it, you know, because people was, you know, talking shit about him.
Yeah, they were talking a lot of shit about him.
Yeah. So, I think that says a lot as well, and that the you know, and the mood in the audience was very much one of responding to that. And I think it came from, you know, the mood was set that, you know, it's really sad that he's not here, but we're not going to, you know, we're not mourning him or anything. No,
he's just not here.
We know he wished he could be, and so let's have the fun. If he was here without, but also not, you know, let's not just, you know, not talk about it or something.
No, exactly, because
like that
would be ridiculous.
I think Jensen on both days spoke, you know, about Jared and what had happened, and very openly, I thought. I mean, there's a lot of sort of emotional openness I felt from Jensen on both days about fandom and the show as well. God, teared up when he was talking about, you know, the question people often ask about how would you like the series to end, and when you talk about how he hates saying goodbye, and that's why he'd like an open ending, because he'd like to leave.
He doesn't think he can ever say goodbye to these people who make the show, and he doesn't think he can ever say goodbye to Dean Winchester.
I know.
And I just sat there going, oh, I'm crawling into like my chair in broken pieces, because I'm sitting there looking at him going, and he was so emotional when he said it, you know,
yes.
I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to say goodbye to this character. And it's not like it's going to be hard to say goodbye.
No.
It's, I don't know I'm going to be able to do it. And so if it's open-ended, I don't have to deal with that, because he said he finds it hard to say goodbye and to things and people anyway. But if he doesn't have to say goodbye, I can deal with that, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to. And it was, you know, and I thought to myself, gosh, she's going to have to deal with that. No wonder he keeps on going.
Never, I'm never stopping. I'm going to be Winchester forever.
Season 25, because I can't say goodbye.
And once the show does finish, he'll be some crazy old man wandering around Austin dressed in plaid.
Driving an Impala.
It was interesting because, I mean, I always love it when the boys talk about their characters. And you can tell, as you would expect after 10 years, but I think not being an actor and even actors, there's very few who play characters for that long. I love hearing them talk about them in that way. And someone asked a question on Saturday. It was a sort of superhero about superheroes and who's your favourite superhero or who'd you like to play. And Jensen sort of was, oh, does it have to be Marvel or DC? And they're like, no, whatever. And he's like, Dean Winchester, because that's a superhero to me, is, you know, is an ordinary man who does those sort of heroic things. And it was, oh, God!
He loves Dean.
He loves Dean Winchester so much.
In his meet and greet, can I jump to his meet and greet? Because I did his meet and greet, and it was hilarious, actually, because they booked a room, but of course it was double booked, because I think in – let's not. I think in I think down. Oh, you're okay. I think down in Melbourne they did in a little room around a table, which I've never done. You know, I've done. Yep. This was my ninth meet and greet with Jensen, but it's always been in that situation where he's been in front of us and we've been two rows of chairs, yep. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting around a table. It's going to be a lot more casual. Anyway, fuck, that didn't happen because the room got double booked. So they found us. Well, they let us out into this down the courtyard and into this little room, and we go in and it's like this little tiny lecture hall. Well, when I say tiny, probably about 200, 300 seats. So, like, you know, or 200 seats. So, small lecture hall. But, and still like the same kind of graduated seating down from up high to low. And then at the front is like, all these whiteboards and blackboards that kind of slide up and down the walls. Yeah. You know, I didn't go to uni, so this was new to me. And then like an overhead projector in the corner and everything. And we're like, oh my God. And there's Jensen's seat. And then all of us in like staggered seating going, it was very random, but we all could just sit straight in front of Jensen. And he came in and he was a little late and he apologized for that. He was a little late because there was a tornado warning in Austin, and Danielle had rung to say that her and JJ were hunkered down in the bathroom in the bath waiting for this tornado, and him and Cliff apparently had looked it up on the satellite and seen that it had pretty much passed, and so he said everything's okay. But you know, we ended up spending a bit of time talking about weather until someone in the audience goes, so later when everybody asks us what we talked about in Jensen's meet and greet, we're going to say we talked about the weather. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm so boring.
Dad.
Let's not do that anymore. But he was so excited by this room. He's like, could they have got me a bigger room? Like, this is ridiculous. And then he's like, oh, my God, an overhead projector. And he got up and played with that. He's like, I haven't seen one of these since the 11th grade. And then we're like, oh, you got a backboard.
Can I just stop you here? Yeah, I'm about to say this is a sad reflection on the state of tertiary education in Australia. You've got an overhead projector.
And blackboards.
And blackboards. Oh, we're up there. We're this clever country.
So then he's like, somebody goes, oh, you should write on the board. He goes, oh, yeah. So he finds, I don't even know where he did, but he found himself a piece of chalk because he's like, oh, there's no chalk. And then he's like, wait a minute. He found himself a little piece of chalk. And he pulls the blackboard down and writes, you know, I'm Mr. Ackles. And then, welcome. And then just Mr. Ackles. And then someone said, oh, you should sign it. And so he went back and he wrote, I'm Mr. Ackles, and then did this huge Jensen signature across it. So when we all ended up at the end, once he'd gone, once he'd left, having all our photos taken with that. But he talked about, he did talk about Rita, you know Rita? Rita who goes to all the conventions.
I know her through her photos.
Through her photos. She was there. So she always asks wonderful questions. And she actually asked about the finale and the fight scene. And was he, you know, did he have any stories about it? Was he happy? And he said he was really happy the way that turned out and that they didn't use any stuntmen at all for that scene. They just the two of them. And he said it was, you know, a lot of work. It was a really big day, you know, a couple of big days and lots of rehearsal and stuff like that. But he said that and he said, you know, Jared really threw himself into it, and he said he doesn't he doesn't realize what he's doing. He said, you know, he's such a big guy, and he said he just doesn't realize what he's doing. And he said he's flying onto the floor, and he said, you know, when he's Sam sliding across the floor, that's Jared sliding across the floor. And he said he was absolutely black and blue. And he goes, the next day he's like showing me his arm is like black and blue and swollen, and he's going, man, I don't know how this happened. And Johnson's going, I know how it happened. It happened when you hit into that railing like six times when I threw you against it, you know. And he said he just really launched himself into everything, and he was really black and blue. But they were both really happy with the way that turned out. But they did the whole thing themselves. He sat there and he thought about it. It was like, was Todd and Carpy, you know, he was like, were they there? And he was like, no, they weren't there. No, they were there, but we never called on them. They were there if we needed them, but we never called on them. So that was really interesting. And I asked him about, and this is what I was going to say, this is his love for Dean. I asked him about the fact that this very clearly had been a mirroring scene, over the last couple of seasons of, you know, suddenly Dean's the one dealing with the supernatural. Sam's the one doing things that Dean doesn't want him to do in order to save him. And, you know, and what did he think that was going to be? What did he think Dean's learnings were going to be out of that, in that he, having walked in Sam's shoes and then having seen Sam walking in his shoes? And he talked about how they flip-flop kind of from season to season, but this was really the first time that they had done that so clearly, and that Dean had been the centre. And he said, which, you know, obviously it's always been Sam that's been the centre, and now he'd been the centre. He said, which, you know, I really enjoyed. He said it was great. And but, and, you know, he talked about, and he said, but once again, you know, there was so much Mark of Cain stuff going on, it's hard to know what Dean will take out of it. But yeah. He said, I do hope that, and he talked about it for quite a long time with, you know, what the flip-flopping and what it meant for the brothers to mirror each other and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And he said, but, you know, what I really hope, he said, is that, I really hope that eventually, once Dean's recovered and, you know, sort of they're back on track, he goes, I just really hope that he gets back to being Dean. And he said, because I feel like it's been a while since he's been the Dean that we all love. Mm. And he said, you know, I love the fun-loving Dean, the, you know, car-driving classic rock kind of, he goes, you know, original Dean, the Dean we all fell in love with. He goes, the Dean you guys all love. And he said, that's, you know, like the Dean that I love as well. And that's the Dean I'm really hoping to eventually get back to. And he said, that's what I'm really hoping that we're going towards now, is me getting back to being Dean and the Dean that we all love. And I said, well, I kind of, I said, well, you know, I kind of think Dean's pretty awesome any way you play him. And he didn't hear me. He goes, I'm sorry, what was that? And I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to say it again. And I said, really, any way you play Dean, he's awesome. Just so you know, awesome. I'm very fond of him. And he just laughed out loud. He's like, he's like, well, thank you. He said, thank you very much. He said, that's very nice. He said, thank you. I'm like, oh my God, this man owns me and he knows it. And anyway, so it was really nice. But he just, I mean, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of these things with him, and I always ask him a Dean question. Oh, yes. I have asked him questions about his craft as well, but most of the time I ask him a Dean question, and he loves Dean Winchester. I think he is a fanboy for Dean. He loves Dean as much as we love Dean. Absolutely. Yeah. He adores that character.
Well, I mean, Jared said, I mean, I remember at Asylum, I think, maybe in interviews recently too, just about how much he's taken from Sam and how much Sam's inspired him.
Mm.
I like to imagine them having Sam girl and Dean girl type arguments about their characters.
I can imagine them doing that. To be honest. But yeah, so it was a really lovely meet and greet, actually. It was probably about half an hour, and it was pretty free flowing and a lot of fun, and yeah, Professor Ackles, and Cliff took a photo, which was really cool. So tweeted it out, and there we all are sitting like in class.
So I think I retweeted it with the commentary that conventions in Australia are very highbrow.
Oh, very highbrow. I think I brought it down a level of singing Hot for Teacher, but anyway.
Well, yes, there's a number of teacher schoolgirl fantasies getting played out, I think, from those photos.
Yeah, but it was a lovely meet and greet. It actually was a really lovely meet and greet. He was in a really great mood. Now, he talked a little bit about Jared in that as well, because we asked after him and we asked after him as well, and we were like, but how are you doing, because you've had to do this thing now all on your own, how are you feeling? And he said he was doing okay. He said he was a bit tuckered out, and he said, I'm looking forward to getting home to my girls, but he said, I've had a great time and I wouldn't change anything, and it's been wonderful being with everybody, and he was really happy to be there, and so he was in fine form.
He certainly was, both fine looking and fine acting.
Oh my god, so
And yeah, it was interesting, given that other than videos from GibCon, I've never seen maybe I have. I think he and Jared each did a solo panel when they were here in 2009.
Oh yeah, I think they did. I didn't go to that one,
but I don't remember it clearly. I remember Jared though. Jared was high on fantails. He was eating too many lollies and spinning around and around and around on a chair.
I've got the DVD rather.
But yeah, so it was really interesting to see Jensen on his own, because Creation Cons, it's always a J2 panel, so a very different dynamic, obviously, when it's just one person, and particularly when it's Jensen without Jared. So,
and he didn't sit down I don't know what he did in Melbourne, but in Sydney he stood the whole time and walked around the stage.
He did sit down in Melbourne, I think, for most of the time. Yes, he did sit down, but no, he paced the stage, didn't he?
Yeah, which was awesome.
But again, some great stories about both recent and older episodes, and Jared's stories, and then of course spoke about about Jared not being there, and I think that just about broke everyone. There is audio of it online if it's on the wiki page, and he'd said similar in Melbourne. He'd said along the lines of he always used to think that Jared's problem was that he gave too much of himself to other people, but now he sees that's his gift. And I thought that was just a lovely way of summing it up. And
I think, like Melbourne, he got a standing ovation in Sydney.
Oh yeah,
and he was like, I was very close, so just to see, he was so moved. It was. He got like hand on heart. You could see that. You could see the moment where everybody sort of stood up, and you could see the moment. Because I remember when he came out on stage in Sydney, he was like, "Wow!" Because it was full house, and it's such a big space, and it was quite an imposing looking room. And he was like, "Whoa! I can't believe this." But at the end, with everybody standing up, he's like, hand on his heart, and then you could actually see the moment where he like went, "Oh," and his face was all red, and he's like, eyes were all watering up, and I think that's when he got his camera out. I'm going to take a photo. Quick, give me something to do. And he took that photo, which I hope he tweets out. He hasn't tweeted the photo, but he did tweet the video.
Yeah, the video.
He took a video for Jared.
Us all cheering for Jared.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was
pretty special.
That's what I thought. Very special.
It, as I said, maybe just because it did feel different, and
it was a really beautiful panel. It was a very warm, and there was a lot of love in that room.
There was, and it was funny and silly and all those other things as well. But
quiet, and being curmudgeon-y Ackles as well.
Grandpa Ackles. And maybe it's because sometimes when Jared's on stage, you often feel like they're talking to each other as well, whereas this was very much...
They often are talking to each other.
That's not a criticism.
No, that's fine.
It's hilarious. But this was very much Jensen talking just to, you know, to us. Mm. One thing that really cracked him up was, and there are a couple of times on the Sunday when this happened, first with Mark Shepherd, and I'll go back to that, but... there was a boy, young boy, who asked a question, and he was 10. And Jensen worked out that he was born 5 months after the show started, and that spun him out.
It's like, I'm going to go back and tell the crew this story.
Here I am in Australia talking to a 10-year-old who was born, you know, born before just before the show started.
Yeah.
And it was, you can see it was really like, oh my God.
Did he say he was doing the math in his head? He's like, wait, how old are you? You're 10. when's your birthday? So were you, wait. And he's like, oh my God, you were like 5 months old when the show started. He was pretty blown away, wasn't he?
And earlier in the day, Mark Shepherd had been speaking to a young boy who about the same age. And Mark has a wonderful way with children. You know, I've been lucky enough to be at a couple of conventions and also that dinner, Armageddon dinner we did. You can tell, obviously, he's got two young sons and he loves kids. And he's got he's one of those people who talks to children like they're actually human.
he does.
You know, rather than, you know, sort of, pets or something, and he had this wonderful chat with this young boy, and including things like, you know, and who's your favourite? Well, that would be Castiel, but he wasn't invited to this convention.
That's right. That was funny.
But again, just you know, we have got to that point, which, you know, I've seen for years in Who fandom, because Who's been going for 50 years. But, you know, we're at that point now where we've had this, you know, we've got people who are fans of the show who are bringing their kids and kids they've had during the run of the show.
Yeah.
There was a couple there who had a baby of not many months old who had a gorgeous little I Love Hugs T-shirt on, who had absolutely adorable photos taken with everyone. So, yes, there was, it's interesting to know that's, you know, that's how long the show's been on, is that it's got a whole new generation of fans. And, you know, seeing 10-year-olds dressed as, you know, Cass or Dean is just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was really great. Yeah, it is. It was cool. And that whole thing, and that kid with Jensen wanted to know how to get on the show.
Yeah,
you've got a resume? I'm going to need a resume and some headshots.
But that was interesting then, because it also got Jensen talking about, you know, how he doesn't have any say over things on the show. He can't even get his friends on the show. You know, it led into a talk about something that's actually quite interesting, because I'm sure a lot of people would think, you know, gee, if you're a lead on the TV show, and I'm sure Jensen has something other than zero influence, but obviously not, you know, he's not dictating, you know, he's not ringing up and getting all his mates on the show. In fact, very few of his mates have been on the show.
No, that's right. And then he talked about how you've got to be a Canadian, you've got to hire X amount of Canadians, which is the same as in Australia, and you know, all that. So it got into this really big conversation about how the casting system works with the show.
Which, you know, geek that I am, I adore that stuff.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, interesting.
But it just shows how wide-ranging the conversations, you know.
Yeah.
Were there was a young woman who talked about how much the show and that and the Always Keep Fighting campaign had helped her, and that was really moving. So yeah, it was really a whole lot of stuff, both in Melbourne. The last question was actually by someone with a very bad Australian accent that turned out to be Tim Odmundson.
Right.
Although he just he gave it away because he kept making himself laugh. The accent was so bad, so that was a bit of a giveaway. But yeah, I would have liked to have had you always think of this. There's an endless number of panels. I mean, I wish we could have had a Mark Jensen that everyone could take part in, and maybe a, I don't know, Mark Tim panel.
Yeah.
But let's just hope we get all of them at many more cons so we can see all of those things, particularly Tim Odmundson, because
he's rather fabulous.
He's very fabulous. Yeah. And he was very charming. Certainly, I wasn't going to have any photos, but I had to have one because he was just...
And you had one with Jensen.
And I had, look, my Jensen love sort of, you know, which is always pretty high, even if it doesn't come through. But it was certainly, I had a Jensen photo as well on the Sunday. And, you know, for people who don't know, I don't do photo ops. It's not my thing. And even though I'm gorgeous, I just don't normally do photo ops. So it says a lot that I had to, I had to have a Jensen one. And again, look, it was just part of the experience, and you'd know this, Amy, too. It's always watching, you know, when people come out of those experiences, just sort of people going in who are fussing with their hair and like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. And then they just sort of levitate out of there and immediately forget everything that happened because people are like, what did you say? What did he say? And everyone's like, I don't know.
It's one of my favorite things is to come out of, be walking out of the photo room and you like catch up with someone who's going, oh my God, oh my God. And you're like, oh, was that your first time you met Jensen? And they're like, yeah. Oh my God. And I just love it. It's one of my favorite things to see the effect that he has on people. I mean, everybody, you know, like all the cast members. But, you know, to see that Jensen effect because he is pretty damn spectacular when you get up and close to him, more so than you would ever believe is possible. And he kind of just gets better and better.
Hey, look, I have to say, you know, you just. So this is a guy who he's doing, I don't know whether he want 500 photo ops.
Oh, no, there had to be more.
Probably more.
More.
Hundreds of, and this is the third week in the row of doing them. And I'm, you know, look, you know, the guy's traveling first class and doing cons. And so I'm not saying he's not digging coal. But, you know, to actually be putting in after all that time. And every person, I probably watched a half dozen people in front of me go up. The care and attention he gave mm-hmm. to every single person who walked up there, not just sort of like nodding, smiling, stand next to me, take the photo, see you later, even in a polite way. And a lot of people have said this, makes really close eye contact with everyone, says hello, asks them what they want to do in the pose, does that, gives them an extra hug, thanks them, you know, like just that care and attention.
Always continues with you out, which I think a lot of, not, and even with the Supernatural, because not every one of them does it, but Jensen and Jared will always do it. They will eye contact you in and see you out. Thank you for coming. And, you know, like it doesn't matter if you've had, you know, 100 ops with them or if you've had one op with them.
Yep.
They always, you're in and out with them and they'll keep eye contact and that moment, they want to make that moment really special. Yeah. And actually in Jensen's meet and greet in this con just passed, he talked about the photos and he sort of said to us, you know, look, I'm really sorry that he said the photos here are really fast because they were very fast. They were way faster than creation photos.
Oh, yeah.
Creation photos, you actually do get like at least a few seconds to sort of say hello and you know, get organized. These were really in, out. I mean, I think, you know, I stopped and said hello, but there was nothing was going to stop me. But, you know, they were really fast. And if you are too shy or whatever, it can be.
Or you're just nervous and you're worried about what pose you, am I going to ask him to do this pose? Will he hug me? And
you can be in and out of that. It's in probably 3 seconds. And he actually brought that up and he sort of said, look, I know that they seem really fast. He said, we're doing a lot of photos today and I know that it seems really, really fast and I want to apologize for that. He said, but I also want to say that we just really want to get as many people to have the opportunity to have a photo as possible. And he said, so that means that sometimes the photos are going to go a bit faster because just to make sure everybody is getting their chance and, you know, getting to, you know, we're getting to meet everybody. And he said, but I know they're very fast and, you know, but know that we're all kind of still really in the moment. So it was interesting that he brought it up. So he must have been quite conscious of the fact that it was foom, 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 foom.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like, of course, I had like two shares and a single, so, you know, I was there for a little bit of time. But it was probably the fastest photo ops I've ever had, ever, at any cons.
Yeah, no, they were very speedy.
But they were great. They were great still, though.
Yeah, oh, the photos were great, except for the sparkly disco shower curtain of death thing you have to stand in front of.
Did you see how I cut mine? I cut me and Jensen
out. I know,
out.
And everyone's immediately, oh, my God, why haven't you got the sparkly disco shower curtain of death behind you?
Because
sorry,
I got rid of
it's organza over calico. It's very beautiful, the backdrop that's used. But also, the other thing I look at the photo ops at every con, even if I'm not having them, I'm often picking them up for friends or I just like to go around and look at them.
I love
and the thing I love about – one thing Jensen does, he commits – when he does a pose, and it doesn't matter whether it's a prom or a hug or a prom pose or he's punching you pretending to punch you in the face or whatever, he commits to it like it's the climactic scene in the finale.
Yeah, he really does.
And you'll
does.
See everyone else and Jared does it too. They'll be sort of half laughing and sort of, you know, the way we all do in photos. But Jensen really puts in.
Yeah, he does.
A friend of mine had one where Tim Odmundson's meant to be sort of attacking her and Jensen's saving her and pushing Tim back. And Jensen looks like, you know, he's Dean facing down Kane. And apparently once she just looks like Jensen's hugging her, so she looks blissful. And Tim Odmundson looks like he's half bursting out laughing, but apparently they all just cracked up when it was over because I think Odmundson was like, you know, dude, you look like you were about to punch my face. But he does that, you know, and the fact that he gives that much to, you know, every single photo, whatever ridiculous thing we're asking them to do, he goes in and gives it, you know, his all. He's not half-assing it at all. So,
no,
you know,
not at
a
all.
Huge amount of respect for that. And I think that says a lot about, you know, how much he's wanting to give. And again, and it is for all of them, how much they're wanting to give back to, you know, to us for what they get out of it as well. And I think that's become in the last few years a lot more, what's the word? Not evident, but it's sort of become more part of the text rather than the subtext. Like, yeah. Things always been there. But I think, I don't know, there seems to be a space at the moment over the last year or two where everyone's like, no, Dad, this is amazing. And, like, the love level's gone through the roof. So
yeah, and it was interesting actually to watch him do his autograph, because if you do the creation ones, you don't actually get to see the autographs happening until you get into, because they're curtained off. Jensen and Jared are curtained off at creation. And so you only ever get to see like maybe one or two people in front of you. But because this was, he was just out in the open. People were staring.
I know, I was standing outside.
I know, people were standing outside staring, watching him. Signing
T-shirts.
Signing autographs, yeah, right. And so you're in the queue and, you know, like apart from the fact you're watching the people in front of you, but there was a real – I think he signed to about 8, so that's a long time. And did you see when they came out and they said, who's got an autograph with Jensen? And I reckon everybody in that damn auditorium put their hand up.
90% of the people
90%.
There.
So I reckon he signed probably about 800 autographs.
Yep.
And he was talking to every person, you know, like pretty much. I mean, some people just were like, rah, and moving on because they can't deal with it. You know, there's a blah.
Do not make eye contact. Your retinas would burn out.
But if someone wanted to talk, he'd stop and he'd talk. And, you know, there was that was actually great, I thought. That was there was a little bit more time and in those autograph situations than I've seen before. And he was so, you know, like engaged. He went and got Cliff to get, while I was standing there, he sent off Cliff to get his little speaker so he could play some music while he was doing.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah. So I got all my stuff signed, and then there was a girl before Hazel. And so we were standing there waiting, and I was chatting to Cliff about their travels around the world. And, Jensen just goes, Cliff, mate, can you go and get me? Well, not probably didn't say mate. Cliff, can you go and get me? I didn't hear what he said. And Cliff just went, rip, rip, and just like took off. And then he came back with Jensen's little speaker so he could play some music from his phone, his iPad or pod or
sounds
whatever.
Sounds of the Pacific Northwest.
No, I don't know what it was. He didn't click it in, but I tell you what did happen was, cause Hazel and I got those tattoos, which I think I tweeted out anyway, yes, that the moose and squirrel one, I've been calling it a squoose, and we're stronger together, and she was calling it a mural, and she had hers on the front of her arm, and I've got mine on my bicep, and Cliff noticed hers and was like, oh, like, is that what I think it is? And she was like, oh, yeah, we just got it. And Jen's was like, oh, my God. And she's like, oh, yeah, Amy got one too. And I was like, oh, yeah, here's mine. And Jen's was like, oh, my gosh, she couldn't believe it. And I said, yeah, I'm calling it a squoose. She's calling it a mural. And he's like, I like both. I think they're both really good. And we're like, yeah, we do too. His jaw was like dropped. He goes, did you guys do the design? And we're like, yeah. And his jaw's like just, he can't believe it. And he's like, Hazel said it was awesome because he was just stroking her arm while he was sort of.
I saw her just afterwards and I think her arm was glowing.
I know. And she's
like the mark of pain.
No, he's just stroking her arm while he's like talking to us and he's looking at mine. And then he looks at mine and he goes, have you got a photo of this, Cliff? And Cliff's like, no. And he goes, can you grab a photo for me? So Cliff took a photo of my tattoo for Jensen, which is awesome. So it's in Cliff's phone for Jensen. So that was a really cool moment. But he was very engaged with everybody in the autographs, which I thought was really great. So, and I think people were having a little bit of time with him. And I went out to pick up Megan. I went out to find Megan, who was sitting outside near the stairs where you could see, and everybody was standing in the glass watching Jensen, yeah. And I kind of stopped and watched, and I had this like big pang for him because I could see this queue that went for freaking miles, and there's Jensen all on his own,
yes,
signing, you know, Cliff standing next to him, but it just looked really, I went, oh, the poor dude, he's going to be here all night. But apparently they wrapped him about 8, which I suppose isn't too bad. But it was, he really put in the hours and put in some pretty major time in the Australian convention.
Yes, and much appreciated.
Really appreciated. Highly appreciated. So it was a super fun day.
I was thinking of ringing Homeland Security and making sure they didn't let him leave the country. But
that would have been a great idea. A bit mean, but...
You know, you wouldn't have said no if he had to stay in Sydney.
I wouldn't have.
But no, look, it was... And, you know, although it's a different experience because you're not all in the same hotel for the weekend, because I flew up from Melbourne, the funny thing was they were running extremely late in Melbourne. We got on the, there were a number of fans on the 8 o'clock flight up from Melbourne to Sydney. And as I got on the plane, it was a small plane, Virgin, and there's only like 2 rows of business class. And sitting alone there was Mark Shepherd. And I just sort of said, hi, where are your mates or something? And there are a number of empty seats and there are a few of the con volunteers on the plane. And they had to get a later flight because they'd been running so late up there. But it was good because we arrived up in Sydney and we went to a hotel that a number of other people from out of town were staying at and got to go to the bar and hang out and have a drink. And that felt like a real con. And certainly one plus of the a lot of time there was waiting, you know, just because of all the – so the autographs – sorry, the photos in the morning – well, morning actually went till – was it 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, really late.
So basically the whole day, except for you who'd had your two panels, was photos for the majority. And the day had started late because, of course, Jensen and the others, they wouldn't have got to their hotel till, you know –
1 o'clock.
Wow.
Well, no, actually, I think Matt said they got in about – 11:30 or 12, and then went and got dinner.
Yeah. So they had a very late night, and so the whole schedule got pushed back. But the nice thing was there was more time for sitting around and catching up with people. And look, that's the other wonderful part of a con. And I hadn't been up to the Sydney con for 3 years, I think. So and there were some people I hadn't seen at overseas cons for a while, and so it was wonderful to get to. Catch up with friends and meet new people as well as and we had some lovely people, if you're listening, who came up and said that they listened to this podcast, Amy and I were both thrilled by.
Oh, no, that was so nice to
meet.
So
thank you
all
to
the
everyone who took the trouble to tell us that.
Yeah, it was so appreciated.
that meant a lot. And, you know, it's just that's the whole part of it is, you know, hugging people and not wanting to let them go and catching up with friends you haven't seen. And that was, for me, that was a really good part of the sort of slower pace of the day rather than it just being all panels and in and out. And it was really, really, really nice. And I was on a, even though I only got to the airport with about, oh, look, I probably had 5 minutes to spare before the plane took off. Literally got to the airport and walked onto the plane. And my flight was at 8 o'clock on Sunday.
So. Yeah, it was late. The whole thing was running really late then too, because we were going to get extra prints, and in the end we were just like, oh, we're going to have to go, because I had to get to the the meet and greet thing in the, you know, with the rest of the cast for the platinum thing. And I went upstairs and sort of got changed and sort of came downstairs and met, I think, a couple of my friends, Kate and Mahalia, were out getting drinks, and I sort of went, we got drinks and we went in and everybody was already seated, and there was, the only person there was Mark. And
Mark is, now that's why he got his plane, because he said he signs 20 times faster than anyone else.
Yeah, well, he wasn't, he would have left before Jensen, and he actually started after Jensen. He wasn't there when I got up to, went up to get my autograph with Jensen. Mark wasn't there. I ended up giving it to another fan who wanted to get something else signed. I said, oh, you get Mark's, I've got so many of his signatures. But but he was the only guest there for quite a while. So, you know, he was doing the table hopping, but he was the only one. He was the only one there. And then they arrived, and they arrived quite late. So the whole thing was probably running that night. The night functions were probably running about an hour and a half late at least by the time we sort of got to them. So I think karaoke finished like at about 20 past 11 or something.
Yeah, I think they got shut down by the hotel.
Yeah, they did. They did. We had to turn they turned the volume right down, so it was really quiet up on stage. We're like, why is it so quiet? And Rich is like, they've turned our volume down.
So that was All Hell Breaks Loose 2015. There were inferences made about people returning next year. We will
see. There were inferences made. Matt made those as well when he joined us at the table. He made definite inferences that people may be returning next year.
So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I hope they do. Look, it was wonderful. You know, as I started off by saying, we are on the other side of the world. We don't get these sort of cons. I was so thrilled. You know, Jared and Jensen haven't been here since 2009. It would be wonderful if they can come back and Jared can be here next year, because just seeing, and, you know, Jensen asked, you know, how many fans had never been to a con before, and it was probably more than half of at least probably two-thirds of the people there. And I was just so happy that, you know, people got to experience that. You know, getting to watch the parody with a room full of people and sing along and, you know, just hanging out with the fandom. But I think just getting a little taste of that and, you know, good timing given the season's just finished and we've got bloody hellacious to angst through, although it's only...
You don't have much of a latest. No. You're like off to San Diego Comic-Con and BangCon.
I think it's, of 44, 40. I think it's 45 days till the Supernatural panel at Comic-Con.
There you go.
Which hasn't been announced yet, but assuming it's on the Sunday.
And I think I've got 108 days until the Sunday of DallasCon.
Not
counting?
Sure how long it is to VanCon, but I have probably tell you how many pay periods it is.
Not enough.
That's all I care about. Not enough pay periods.
Oh, my God.
But, look, it was really, really wonderful. I'm pretty sure it's so hard. I mean, you know, Amy, it's so hard going back to mundane life after a weekend. And I'd been lucky. I'd had friends over to watch the finale with me on the Thursday, and then we'd had an event, a public sort of viewing party with fans in Melbourne on the Friday night. So, you know, it had been sort of 4 days of fandom, and then you have to go back to, you know, mundane existence where it's not like that. And it's like, no, take me back to the real world.
I know. I have my friend Hazel over for the weekend, and we got to do tattoos, which we do whenever we do cons, and, you know, have a really good day. And I had such a good day on Sunday. I had probably one of my favorite con days ever, and it was here.
Fantastic.
Unheard of.
Well, no, and it was, I mean, for all criticism of the con organisation, I thought certainly for the people who bought the top tier tickets, you know, you got a good serving of Jensen, so to speak.
You got a lot of Jensen.
So that was, you know, that was excellent, I think, because the top tier tickets here are expensive, and for that you want to get, you know, good service and a good helping of what we've come for.
Exactly. I think it's the only time I'm ever going to be front row. So, and it was kind of nice, you know, so it was kind of fun to be in the front row, but I can't see that happening very often. I think that's, well, maybe if they come next year.
One thing I do like, we mentioned, this is a silly thing to like, but having the raked or the tiered seating means everyone gets an excellent sight line as well. So I was further back and on the side in Sydney than I was. I was a lot nearer the front, quite near the front on in Melbourne. The chairs in Melbourne were very comfortable because they're like theatre seats and they're new. It just means
these ones even had little desk things that flopped out.
Oh, I know, you know, usually at cons it's convention floor flat seating, and just from that point of view, it's it was comfortable and the sight lines are good, even if you're up in the nosebleed section. You haven't got everyone's head in the way.
And they had a massive big screen as well behind the cast. It was huge.
Yeah, so
absolutely
huge. You could actually, you got a close up of their expressions and that, even if you were further away. So those bits were very, very good. And the weather was good in both places, which always helps.
Yes, I think it was.
I think that's all I've got to say.
Well, I don't have anything to say. It was a very fun time, and it's great to see everybody. And that's what I've got to say. Fangirl sigh.
We will be doing our finale recap. We just thought while we were still on a high from the con, we should do that. And then we should probably rewatch the finale.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
We will do a Brothers Keeper recap sometime. In the next week.
Yes, we will.
And we'll probably crash and we'll have post-con blues and post-con crud and all that. But once we get through that, we will do a finale podcast. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. I've been Amy.
I'm still Jules.
And we'll talk to you very soon. Bye.
You've been listening to the Women of Letters podcast. If you'd like to contact us, our email is wolspn@gmail.com. You can follow Amy on Twitter @AmyInSydney and Jules @SuperWiki.